time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Rundown here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. I want to get right to the phones and welcome in from the ACC Digital Network, Wes Bryant. Wes, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's going on, my man? Glad to be back yet again. Talk a little football. Never get tired of it.
I hear you on that, man. That's kind of what we're looking at here is an interesting week for the ACC, and I'll tell you why. I am a guy, I like to follow the polls a little bit, and for the first time in a while, we had some ACC teams at the near the in the top 10. What, three teams in the top 10? That's about right, wasn't it?
Yep.
Well, and then all of a sudden, things just kind of float away there a little bit. Let's start with Notre Dame and Louisville. Notre Dame and Louisville, they have their matchup ends up like a softball score. Was that more of Louisville came to play, or was that just Notre Dame was sloppy?
Yeah, Notre Dame, it's just a tricky team right now because you look at the fact that we talked about when we spoke that Notre Dame, you know, they struggled with Duke out of the gate, and I was saying you're not quite sure what you're going to get from Notre Dame as far as just how good they are. When you look at them on offense, they look like a predominantly run team. Ian Book struggles, only throws for 100 yards on a Louisville defense that teams have been lighting up. They don't really have that wide receiver out there on the edge that's really ripping it up for them. It's been him, like I said, in that running game led by Kyle Williams. So with Notre Dame, you're just not quite sure. And if they're looking to try to really contend with the Clemson Tigers and some of the upper echelon teams of college football, we see what Alabama's doing through the air as well. They're going to need to find some passing game and really find some wide receivers out there on the edge. I know that Brian Kelly talked about in the preseason how after they lost to Clemson in the playoffs that they had started to recruit guys to be able to create those matchups against a Clemson where they could be more successful, and we're not seeing that right now. So Notre Dame may be a little bit high in the rankings. We'll see as time will tell, but they are certainly not looking like a national power and a national championship contender in my eye at this point today.
Well, but then we go from that to the only word I can describe it is shock. With North Carolina going down to FSU, you and I talked about, and I went back and pulled what we said about FSU last week, and it comes back to the same thing of, wow, how did this happen with North Carolina going down there, making a game of it, but they were down 31-0.
Yeah, and let me say real quick, it was Kyren Williams for Notre Dame, but yeah, okay, so Notre Dame, I mean North Carolina and Florida State, just wow. That's all I can say about that game. And I was sitting there as a fan, and I'm not going to lie, I was very dismissive of Florida State in that start. I sat there and I said, well, I said, North Carolina, get their legs under them, and they'll find a way to come back in the game and win it, which they did. They just didn't make the plays down the stretch to be able to close it out, but they never should have been in that position in the first place. It was just one of those situations. College football is such a momentum game, and it was just Florida State just was – they were already jacked up for this game, and once Carolina gave them the momentum, doubled with a not-so-great defense for the Tar Heels, very porous. They gave up a lot of runs to Jordan Travis. And then when that started happening, overcompensating, giving up some deep plays down the field, and then special teams was very rough for them as well. But I said with North Carolina, listen, the love affair is over now. Last year, Sam Howell and the crew, nobody expected them to do much. I remember preseason, people didn't even expect them to get to a bowl game. I was one of the few who said that they would, but everything they did was a bonus. Oh, Sam Howell throws for 38 touchdowns, freshman record. Bonus. you know, Carolina wins seven games, bonus. We love it, everything. But now you come into the season after you play the Clemson Tigers to the wire. You close out the season strong. You have a quarterback that looks like he's going to be one of the top draft picks in another season or so. And everybody's saying, okay, now we don't just expect you to win seven games and get to a lower-tier bowl. We're expecting you to get to the ACC championship game. We're expecting you to get to a high-level bowl game. And we're expecting you to put up 45, 50 points on a regular basis. So it's a little bit different now. They went down to a very hostile environment. The fans were on Sam Howell because we know he was committed to Florida State once upon a time. So now with the Heels, we're going to see how they respond to this. Because, like I said, the love affair is over. These fans now, they have the expectations in the college football world now, has expectations on the North Carolina Tar Heels. They did not live up to those in Tallahassee.
Well, and with that, though, I mean, does that say something more about Florida State? Maybe we, you and I you know, I'm an old-school wrestling type of guy. Maybe you and I played the Undertaker's theme too soon for Florida State. I'm not saying compete for the ACC title, but Florida State, if they can play like that throughout the rest of the season, they're going to hurt a lot of people's feelings who think that they have a dark horse shot of getting into Charlotte.
Yeah, that's the thing. I really have to see a whole lot more from the Seminoles before I can begin to buy into that type of theory.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of caught lightning in a bottle on Saturday, and they still ended up almost blowing that game. But with that said, they found a way to close the game, even though Carolina had a few drops that could have made things a little bit more interesting. But you hear the coach after the game, Norvell, and I'm talking about how they feel like the kids are starting to buy in, and, you know, they feel like they're starting to turn the corner a little bit. Well, we're going to see about that. Like I said, they've got Louisville this week, which if they do play like you said, if they play like they played against Carolina, then they definitely have a shot to beat the Louisville Cardinals. But I just don't know with the better teams on that schedule. And Jordan Travis right now, he's much more of a runner than he is as a passer. That defense still has a lot of questions to be answered. So I'm not sold on Florida State yet. I feel like they just kind of caught, like I said, lightning in a bottle on Saturday night, and they got a great victory for that program. But I'm very much wait and see with this team going forward because I am still not a believer at this point.
You know, I get the feeling sometimes that I always pitch something to you when we talk. Last week I was talking about Virginia Tech and how that might be a stumbling game for Clemson. This week I'm talking about maybe Florida State can hurt feelings, and you have to come back and say, hey, Rob, calm down a little bit. But going back to Virginia Tech, though, they had a heck of an outing this past weekend. Their quarterback, I mean, he's getting the job done for them, and they're a quiet 4-1.
Yeah, he did. Hendon Hooker came back. Like I said, they've had plenty to deal with COVID and everything going on in that program. Hendon Hooker was the guy coming into the season. He was one of the better quarterbacks coming back this year, and now he's finally getting his legs under him, and we see him starting to play well. He came in that North Carolina game and really started to show some flashes as well. But Virginia Tech, the main thing you want to see is that defense. Now, they came out, like I said, and yes, they did put it on Boston College. This was an angry football team after what happened in North Carolina. But we can't forget, they gave up 50-plus to North Carolina. So, you know, Bud Foster and the crew, no longer there anymore. They're still trying to conjure up those old spells, if you will, of coaches past. But Justin Fuente and the crew, like I said, we need to see. Again, that's another team that I'm kind of on a wait-and-see approach because I need to see an identity from this football team. Now, they look like if Hendon Hooker can deliver in that passing game, they got some speedy wideouts on the outside that can make plays, and my goodness, Khalil Herbert, is he a stud of studs? He makes plays every week. So they've got the ingredients. But right now, defensively, I want to see them step up a little bit more and show that they can get stopped, get turnovers, be a little bit more opportunistic. Because, like I said, I think Virginia Tech does have one of the more dangerous offenses that our league has. So they've got some things there to make some noise, but they got to round that defense in the shape.
Wes Bryant from the ACC Digital Network. And I bring that up, 186 yards on the ground for the quarterback Hooker there. I look at the way that he played is almost like how Virginia's quarterback Bryce Perkins played last year. Yeah, he can make some throws, but, man, he can kill you with his feet.
Yeah, Hendon Hooker, as I said, he's a kid. He's 6'4". He goes about 220, but very athletic. And he can make lots of plays for you in the running game, also in the passing game as well. So I like this offense with him there. And especially, like I said, with the kid as dangerous as Khalil Herbert back there. I just think the world of him. I knew he'd be a productive player coming in from Kansas, because I was like, if you can get 800-900 yards with the Kansas offensive line, you're pretty good. But this kid is spectacular. So he's got help back there in the backfield. He's got wideouts to get it done. They have lots of continuity on that offensive line, lots of starters returned and backups. So, he definitely has the ingredients to have a great season in Blacksburg.
All right. Well, I want to talk to you really quick. One more thing about the polls. Actually, two. The first is I'm kind of upset with the AP poll. And my reasoning is, how is it that we have, five teams from the Big Ten that are in the AP poll, and yet they haven't played a snap? If this doesn't show you that these polls are hot garbage, I don't know what we could possibly do to reinforce that.
Yeah, well, it is what it is, and the coaches always say that the polls really don't matter. And a lot of the fans, sometimes you hear the sentiment that they shouldn't come out with polls until mid-season, but I guess maybe they knew something we didn't know, that these teams were going to end up coming back to play after all. That's all I can say.
Well, there you go with that. And the other thing is that it's a very strange set of polls in that I think there's 7 ACC teams ranked and 4 SEC teams right now. And I know that we just said, hey, the polls are silly, but when you see that, wow, that kind of opens up your eyes a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely makes you excited, but you also you have to take it as it is right now. Like you said, there's so many teams that aren't playing that are getting ready to play again. So you just have to take it right now. Actually, we have 6 teams in there, but the most of any conference. But you got to say, once the Big Ten, they start back this week, Pac-12 will be starting back soon. So, it's just kind of a sign of the times. Nothing is orthodox right now with what we've got going on. So I would just attribute it to that. But I do think the ACC, I will say, and not just because I'm the host of the ACC Digital Network, I call it like it is. I do think the ACC finally has more depth than they've had in the last few seasons, where there are more quality teams. And I think even once these teams start back playing again, the teams that are there for the most part, I think that they will stick, because you're talking about Clemson, we know they're not going anywhere. Notre Dame, yeah, they may lose a game or two down the stretch, but we know that they're going to finish the season ranked. You're talking about Miami. Miami looks like a team that's going to stay in the polls this year. The Tar Heels look like a team, if they don't have any more slip-ups like what they had. And then Virginia Tech looks good, and NC State also looks like a team that could stick around in the polls. Now, if I was to pick one team to say who would fall out, maybe NC State, because we have to continue to see. We know that they lost their quarterback, Devin Leary. But I think the ACC does have quality depth at the top and some decent teams in the middle.
All right, well, let's talk about this week's games really quick here. I've got, first of all, let's go with Clemson and Syracuse. This is a Syracuse team that I like Dino Babers a lot, and he almost seems sort of like a fish out of water at Syracuse, because I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Syracuse, but when I think Syracuse, I think basketball school, and I would love to see what Dino Babers could do where at a football type school where he could draw some better players. But right now they match up with Clemson this weekend. I know we don't coaches don't like to talk about the lines, but 45 points, Wes. That's the line for the Clemson-Syracuse game. 6 touchdowns and a field goal. Wow.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's what happens when you lose to Liberty at home 38-17, and the team you get ready to play against hangs 73 points on the board and puts their punter in the game late to throw a couple of passes. That's the type of spread that you're going to get Syracuse, I don't even know where to begin as far as the trouble that they will be in this weekend. Clemson will have to have pretty much every starter and every backup hurt for this game to be remotely competitive. Clemson just looked absolutely spectacular. Against the Georgia Tech team, they're, like I said, they're not as bad as that 73-7 score indicates, but that's just showing them how far away they are from Clemson. This Georgia Tech team, they're going to get some wins. I think that is a bowl team this season. Jeff Sims can take care of the football just a little bit better. But like I said, the Clemson Tigers right now, they're up there among the upper echelon of college football. That goes without saying. Trevor Lawrence was just ridiculous. 391 yards, 5 touchdowns and a half. I mean, what do you say about this team? Like I said, going up against a Syracuse team that just defensively, Liberty just ran the football all over them. They did whatever it is that they wanted to do. So when you look at these matchups going up against a team with the depth and the talent of the Tigers, you know it's going to be bad.
All right, well, let's talk for a quick second here about that matchup with Georgia Tech and just the end of it. Did you have any issues with Clemson throwing passes that late? Georgia Tech Twitter was upset. I retweeted some of those yesterday. One of them was, hey, you know, we'll never forget this happened. But I'm of the mentality, if you don't like the punter out there throwing passes and the fifth string offensive lineman pushing your guys around, maybe you should do something about it.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. And like I said, they don't have to, you know, they don't need to forget about it because it's going to be happening for a long time now. So they'll have plenty of time to think about what happened this year, next year, what's going to happen the next year and the next year. I really like what Jeff Collins is doing with this program, but this is what Dabo does. And this is why, you know, you look up and you wonder how they are perennially ranked among the top three teams in the country and recruited. And that's why, because kids are going to get opportunities to come in late in games and make plays. It's not going to be, hey, come to Clemson and when we're up 56-7, we're going to run the football for the whole second half. They're going to get in there and they're going to continue to play how they play. I remember Coach Spurrier, who I played for in Florida, he had the same mentality. He was like, hey, you know, when we get guys in the game late, we're going to still continue to run our offense and you have to stop it. So, no, I had no issues with what Clemson is doing. And personally, I like to see it because I like to see the new guys that they have and what new freshmen I need to be looking out for, what kid might be getting ready to explode and start making football plays. So I don't have any issues with it.
All right. Well, let's talk really quick about one more matchup this weekend. You know, North Carolina State is 4-1. North Carolina, they the Tar Heels, looking to bounce back after that, I just say, disrespectful loss to Florida State. I'm stunned by that game still. With this matchup, though, I mean, North Carolina State, they could move themselves up a little bit. This might be their statement game.
Yeah, it could be, but it's going to be really hard because Devin Leary was really playing some good football before he went out of the lineup for the guys, and that is a very tough, unfortunate injury for the Wolfpack. You know, you can lose a lot of positions, but when you lose your quarterback, that makes things very difficult. You're talking about a guy that was 10th in the league in total offense, and you know, so that's going to be tough for NC State and playing against their rival, who's also going to be very angry, very embarrassed. And that's going to be interesting to see in this matchup as well. Is Carolina going to lose twice? Did the way that game ended, is it going to affect them against their in-state rivals, who we know rivalry games, you just throw everything out of the window. But we also know that, let's just be honest, North Carolina is the superior team as far as talent is concerned. But as I said, that's not going to matter. NC State's playing great football. And, hey, they're going to be looking and licking their chops when they look at that video because they're saying, hey, you know, we feel like they're down and there would be nothing more to put a stamp on our season at this juncture and to really put a grand stamp on it than to beat our rivals, the North Carolina Tar Heels. And we also know how big that is for recruiting. So NC State right now, 4-1, they've got a chance to make some noise, and they feel like in Raleigh, hey, the sky's the limit. So if we can beat North Carolina, that can do wonders for us.
Will Shipley, excuse me, Wes Bryant joining us from the ACC Digital Network. And I wanted to ask you a question about Will Shipley because I have it up here in front of me. Will Shipley, the talented running back that chose Clemson over Notre Dame and several other schools, has decided to skip his senior season, and he's going to enroll in January at Clemson. And I know that they're talking about doing spring football up at North Carolina and through other schools around the country. Do you think this is something we're going to see a lot of?
Yeah, I think it is, especially for guys of his caliber. But that makes me upset now because I thought I am a guy. I like to attend high school football games. And so he was a guy I was really looking forward to watching. And like I said, this COVID thing, it just stinks. And everybody knows it because if the high school season had been going on, my high school, Vance High School, where now Julius Chambers High School was going to play them in a opening season matchup.
Are we getting old enough where they're changing the name of our high schools now?
Well, you know, with the things going on with the racial injustice and things, they found it suitable at this point to change my old high school's name.
I understand. I'm not mocking that. I just think it's funny because it's just like I see that I'm getting old because they're changing the names of stuff, which I just think is funny. But anyway, with what you were saying, though, I mean, that's that would have been an interesting matchup up there in North Carolina to see that young man on the field because he is special.
Yeah, for sure. And my high school had a linebacker, Powell Echols, who's going to leave early to go to Carolina, a four-star kid, one of the top recruits in the state, and he is a monster. I don't know how he's not a five-star. But so like I said, with Will Shipley and what you're seeing, it's just happening, you know. So the May kid from here is skipping his year because I know they are doing spring football, so I was looking forward to going out and seeing some of these kids when the time permitted. But looks like I won't be able to do that, and I really wanted to see this kid play up close and personal. He is a great, great talent, and I think he's going to do well down at Clemson.
All right, Wes Bryant from the ACC Digital Network, of course. They can find you just about anywhere. Tell folks where they can find your content and all the good stuff you put out.
Yeah, check us out, ACC Digital Network on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. We're everywhere. We got great content. We always doing player features and talking about teams. Everything that's hot in the ACC, all the hot topics and storylines, come check us out for that. You can catch me personally on Twitter, Westcott Range, and on Instagram, Westcott Range 704. And I'm definitely trying to get my Instagram popping, as the kids would say. So definitely give me some follows there if you like.
Hey, man, I appreciate you joining us here on the Rundown today. And hopefully we have another great weekend of college football with all kinds of different things we can talk about later on. But, hey, Wes, thanks for joining us, man.
No problem, as always, man. You know where to find me.
I appreciate it, buddy. Wes Bryant from the ACC Digital Network joining us here on the Rundown. Talking a little bit about Clemson. They're a 48-point favorite. Coach Dabo Swinney said something today, and as soon as I heard it, I tweeted out about it. I actually retweeted Lawton Swann from Clemson Sports Talk because he had like the full tweet there, which I thought was interesting. And we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about that and a lot more in just a moment. You're listening to The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Streaming live on Facebook as well. You got to check this out. These are some comments from Coach Will Muschamp today with his press conference. And he talks a lot about the matchup with LSU. Interesting stuff here from the head football coach for South Carolina. So here you go, some comments from Coach Will Muschamp.
We've got a lot of respect for the team and obviously the program, having worked there before. Ed's done an outstanding job winning the national championship last year. Did a fantastic job with that football team. And they're very explosive offensively this year. Miles Brennan's already thrown for 11 touchdown passes in three games. They're spreading the field and making you defend 53 yards wide and 120 deep. So they make you defend the entire field, create a lot of space plays with some really good players. create some tempo and some look back and some different things to change the tempo of the game. But a lot of talented guys offensively, defensively. I think the world of Bo Pelini, and I think he's an outstanding defensive coordinator, one of the best defensive guys I've been around. Two really good corners in Stingley and Ricks are both guys. You see his coverage ability that they have. They're really big inside up front, hard to move up front. So we'll have our work cut out for us. They got really good team speed on special teams and some very good specialists. And they've always been good in the return game. So we got our work cut out for us. I thought we had a good start today, this morning, and we need to clean some things up tomorrow and have another good work day and then have a good Thursday and a good walkthrough on Friday. And we head to Baton Rouge, and I'll open up for any questions.
Ben with the first one.
Hey, Will. I know that their starting quarterback, Brendan, is questionable. And I guess what is kind of the challenge in the process of preparing for potentially up to three different, sort of slightly different skill sets?
Well, I think that there's a lot of similarities in all of them. They're big guys. Both Finley and Max Johnson are guys we're familiar with. We've watched all of their high school tape. So we're very familiar with it. Both guys are extremely talented. Both guys can really spin it. They both have athleticism to extend plays and create some things in the run game, which they somewhat do with Brennan as best they can. So, again, they've been very successful in what they do. They'll identify the things that are really good for those guys and what they feel comfortable with, and then you've got to adjust in the game to what they're doing. So those are all things that will factor into our game plan as far as whether – you know, who's up at the quarterback position, and we'll make the decisions from there as far as what we need to take in the game to be successful, whether it's Miles Brennan at quarterback or one of the two freshmen or both. And we'll make those adjustments on game day.
Do you guys try to ferret out any information about who will probably go during the week, or do you just kind of prepare for all of them and go from there?
You got to be prepared for everything, and you can't put all your eggs in one basket and hope it happens. So you've got to be prepared for whatever may happen on game day. And we always talk in terms of, even in situations where you know who the starter is going to be, you got to prepare who is the backup and what is his situation. Is he a guy with legs? We always have those conversations in preparation for a team because of the how critical that position is and how it affects how you call a game.
All right, so here's what I take away from that. They're going to have to prepare for everyone as far as what LSU has out there. Miles Brennan, by the way, I know that folks got a little spoiled last year with Joe Burrow, who was a once-in-a-generation type talent, in my opinion, that ended up – how he ended up at LSU is still crazy to me. I mean, with what happened at Ohio State, and I know he got injured, and I know I gave him grief about it, but the guy is a heck of a football player. I think people got spoiled with him a little bit, but Miles Brennan – is a heck of a quarterback. When you look at LSU and you say, my goodness, they're 1-2. Man, they really have fallen off the deep end. It has nothing to do with Miles Brennan or that offense that LSU trots out there against South Carolina. Now, if Miles Brennan isn't playing, that's a completely different, as in the Wizard of Oz, they called it a horse of a different color. That's basically what it boils down to. I don't know anything about these other quarterbacks. I don't think anybody really does. Now, you can have some, if you go to LSU Twitter, they'll pump some sunshine up there and tell you, oh, these are all world-type players, and 247 Sports says they're outstanding. They're on the bench for a reason. They're not as good as Miles Brennan, okay? Let's just make sure we put that out there as of right now. So, if you're a South Carolina fan, that's something you can look at this game and say, okay, maybe they can go down to the Bayou and possibly make a good game of it down there with LSU. My big thing, though, is that the LSU defense is absolutely terrible. If you watch some of the I rewatched the Missouri game, and I watched the Mississippi State game. I have a life. I can't watch the Vanderbilt game. Sorry. But I did watch those two, and the thing with that was it seemed like everywhere they went on the field as far as the defense goes, they were completely out of position. They had big, strong guys. You can see that. They had guys that were fast. You could see that. But they were completely out of position. And I think a lot of that comes down to a couple of things. One, I don't think that they've completely bought into what Bo Pelini's trying to get them to do. And two, they went to that 4-3 system, and with that, they didn't have a lot of time due to COVID to actually get it implemented and get enough reps to make it where it is, you know, second nature as far as the defense goes. LSU does have a good defensive players. I said that. They just got to get into the right spot. One of the other sad things about this matchup as far as for South Carolina goes, LSU didn't play last week because Florida had to deal with COVID-19 stuff. With that whole game was rescheduled. Here's the bad part for South Carolina. You've given Coach Orgeron 2 weeks to prepare for the Gamecocks. Saturday, they were watching South Carolina play Auburn, and I'm sure that it was almost like a film session. So they got a better look at the Gamecocks and more time to prepare for them. So on that front, you got to lean a little bit more towards LSU. Can South Carolina go down there and get a win? I think it would be tough, but it's not nearly as tough as I thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season, because I didn't think LSU's defense was going to be the gong show this year. I didn't think they were going to be so awful that they would give up a single game passing record in the conference to anyone. No one thought they were going to be that bad. All right. So if you're a Gamecock fan, you can put that feather in your hat. I don't know if Colin Hill is going to be able to go down there and do that, but I expect a lot of points to be scored on Saturday. A lot. Because let's remember, with South Carolina, they have the capability of giving up big plays. That's something that South Carolina hasn't figured out how to stop yet. So I look for, as the coaches call it, the explosives. What a horrible name. I'm so tired of that. Last year, it was everything the commentators were saying was, well, the RPO this and the RPO that. Now it's explosive plays. Ugh. It just sucks. I can't stand when people use the same thing over and over and over and over again when it comes to football stuff. But big plays, both teams will give up a lot. Look for a lot of points to be scored on Saturday. Will South Carolina get the win? Would anybody be shocked? I'm just saying. I mean, LSU losing to Mizzou, that's shocking. Losing to Mississippi State, that's shocking. So don't tell me South Carolina can't go down there and get the win. That's not out of the realm of possibility. It's just not. Quick break, and we come back. Some comments from Coach Dabo Swinney as he tries to tell us that Syracuse is going to be a tough out for Clemson. That's what he says. It's pretty sad. More of the rundown in just a moment. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Appreciate you checking us out. You know, I've got some comments here from Coach Dabo Swinney that I'm pretty sure I cut up, but I can't find them. So here's what we'll do. We'll pivot. We'll talk about Coach Dabo Swinney in a second. I'll have to run into the other studio and check these out. You need to read my blog page at foxsportsradio1400.com. Several cool things that are up there that I've already posted today. One of them being that we had some Dallas Cowboy fans decide to shoot their television. Let's head out to the phones. Good afternoon. Welcome into the Rundown.
Mr. R. Sanders, this is the Watchman. I have a statement about the Braves, and I have two predictions for Saturday.
All right, man, what do you got?
Well, the Braves choke again. That's one.
Now, you're hurting all my feelings now. My feelings are great with the Atlanta Braves, and you're turning them into wine, sir. Just saying.
Paul, I had to do it. I'm a Giant. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan.
Now you just hurt my feelings, but okay. Yes, the Braves sucked. We got it. What do you have for predictions for this weekend? Maybe that won't make me mad.
Okay, for you Gamecock fans peeking over the fence, I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. I think the Gamecocks will defeat LSU. Probably by about 9, 10 points, something like that.
Wow.
And my Clemson, my mighty Clemson, number one Clemson Tigers, they will demolish Syracuse.
Okay.
They'll win by 47 at least.
Well, hey, I mean, that's you might be right about that. Syracuse is in a world of trouble right now. They may not have their starting quarterback. But hey, man, I appreciate you calling us on the show and ribbing me about the Braves and giving us your predictions for this week's game. So thanks so much, man.
Always enjoy talking with you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right, so 803-978-1832. That's the number to call, 803-978-1832. If you want to make fun of me for being a homer for the Atlanta Braves or the Green Bay Packers, who also got their face kicked.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Kicked in this weekend. Really quick to pivot to that. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were calling that game this weekend. And, yeah, didn't go so well for them. They said the following into a hot mic. They forgot the whole thing of, hey, there's a hot mic when you walk into a studio because that could happen. You know, it's like broadcast stuff 101, I guess. But these two guys said this, talking about the flyover for the Green Bay-Tampa Bay game. Not what you want to hear.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Yeah, well, here's the thing on that. They will have to, I assure you, they will apologize for that later on. Because when you are doing play-by-play stuff, no one should know who you support or who you vote for. You're supposed to be completely unbiased down the line, etc. I don't bring my politics into this radio show, even though I am not a journalist like Christopher Thompson, who works for WVOC. I've worked with Toph for like, 17, 18 years now. I could not tell you who his favorite teams are. Could not tell you. And that's me just being as absolutely honest as I can. Okay? So, with that, these guys should come out and apologize, even if they were being sarcastic, because they're talking about the military flyover with the planes flying over. And that's part of, you know, a lot of different games that go on throughout our country. And right now, the NFL needs the good press. Yes, I know that there are folks that are point blank will say, I'm not watching any more NFL games. Stuff like this is why. Okay? Stuff like this is why. I'm going to play it again just because you thought that maybe I doctored this audio. No, I didn't doctor it.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Troy Aikman's had too many concussions. I can say that because if... Vice President Biden wins the election this in, 15 days? They're still going to do flyovers, dummy. I don't know who told you that. That's not going to happen. The only time they don't happen is in the instance of a government shutdown. You're an idiot, Troy Aikman. And Joe Buck, you ran your mouth about my Atlanta Braves last week. I almost came on here and plastered you for the dumb stuff that you said. But you know what? I let that go. With this, you look kind of stupid. And you don't need me to call you stupid. Your words do it for you, sir. So hopefully those two will apologize. You can make the argument they were mocking the flyover or mocking people for what they think their tax dollars are going for when neither one of them have won a vote of anything. I wouldn't elect Troy Aikman to be my dog catcher. Just saying. There's my political statement for the entire election season. If Troy Aikman's running for dog catcher, he doesn't get my vote. There you go. How's that for politics on the radio? We'll take a quick break and we come back. We'll have those comments from Coach Dabo Swinney right here on The Rundown. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. 1400. Well, welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. I promised you some comments from Coach Dabo Swinney. Man, it's kind of hard to argue with a coach that wins as much as Coach Sweeney does. But this little bit of a comment here about Syracuse, just stop it. Syracuse is terrible. I get tired of hearing these things, man. Just be honest. It's kind of hard for me to believe some of this. All right, here you go. Some comments from Coach Dabo Swinney.
You know, Syracuse is a team that, you know, the biggest thing is you it's so easy to look at their record and just say, oh, well, you know, they're not a good team or something like that. And we just that's not how we operate. And, you know, for us, you know, every game is the biggest game. That's just how we go about it, always have. But when you look at it, you know, North Carolina, the game's 10-6 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, North Carolina popped a couple plays. Pittsburgh, same thing. Close. Pittsburgh's a good team. Close game all the way to right there at the end. They come back and beat Georgia Tech by, you know, three scores. And then, you know, again, Duke game, very tight game. And then, bam, bam, right in the fourth quarter, game kind of got away from them with some turnovers and things like that. So, listen, this is a team that we have a lot of respect for sure. Their style of play offensively creates challenges with their tempo team, a lot of RPOs, a lot of pop passes, a lot of screens, and everything that comes off of those type of plays. A lot of shots down the field. You know, I mean, they're going to throw the ball down the field 10 times 40 yards or more. So competitive plays, technique, and fundamentals outside at corner in particular are critical. And then defensively, they're just they do a lot of stuff. And they've had some personnel challenges these first few games with different guys being, you know, in and out. Again, we have a lot of respect for them. And we know firsthand here at Clemson that Syracuse is a team that can beat you. Obviously, we went up there. The last league loss we had was to Syracuse, and it was up there. And I think they were 4-8 that year. We were one of their wins. So, this isn't about a record or anything like that. This is about, you know, playing well Saturday. Period. And our focus is on Clemson. Our focus is on getting better. As I always say, good teams get better. Good teams correct mistakes. Good teams learn and grow as they grow throughout the season. And we got a lot to learn. We got a lot of things to clean up. You know, it's not about just being fast. It's about having timing with that speed. It's not just about being strong and physical. It's about having precision in what you do. And so we've got a lot of room for improvement, a lot of things that we got to do, and that's our focus, is to continue to build momentum, continue to grow our team, and play well.
All right, Coach Dabo Swinney there with some comments about Syracuse. All coach speak, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. That's all I got from it was absolute coach speak. Yes, I mean, if you want to say, hey, we have to have a lot of respect for Syracuse, I just don't. Just stop it. I mean, yeah, you want to go up there and make sure you guys have their heads screwed on right. But, ugh, it's crazy, to say the least. All right, final thing before we get out of here this evening. I love obnoxious fans. You need to go to my blog page at foxsportsradio1400.com. One of the most obnoxious fan bases in the NFL are the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I'm not asking you to go and watch a Dallas Cowboys game, okay? Because at this point, they are so bad, their own fans don't want to watch them. And I have proof of that on my blog page. Yes, go to my blog page at foxsportsradio1400.com. It's right there on the front. A Dallas Cowboy fan last night was so upset that he took his beer and threw it at a TV that was placed outside of his trailer park. This is not a joke. Not a joke. Okay? He goes up, throws his beer, and it hits the screen and knocks out DeAndre Hopkins. You see DeAndre Hopkins there for Arizona. Then he goes up and punches the TV, and the TV falls to the ground. Now, hey, if that's not enough for you, you've destroyed your TV. Oh, no, 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 no. There's one more thing we need to do. Why don't we take out our gun and shoot it three times? That's all for you. My gift of goodness to you today at FoxSportsRadio1400.com. Please go check that out. Simple. FoxSportsRadio1400.com. Watch a Dallas Cowboy fan throw his TV, throw his beer through the TV, punch the TV, throw it on the ground, and then take out his gun and shoot it three times. The first time I watched it, I was like, oh, he broke his TV. And then 3 seconds later, I'm like, oh, no, he shot it. There is no sports outcome that could get me to throw away my TV and then shoot it. Not happening. It's not happening on any planet. Go and check it out. It's on my blog page at FoxSportsRadio1400.com. Speaking of which, you got to make sure you check out Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, the czar of Clemson Sports. He's probably upset with me because I think that what Coach Dabo Swinney said today was kind of out there. Syracuse is terrible. They're a 7-touchdown and a field goal underdog. Stop trying to tell me and that, hey, Syracuse can beat us. I'm not dumb, sir. You may have to tell that to some of your young players that are out there. But for everybody else, you don't have to come out and say we're light years better than they are. But don't give me 3 minutes of poor mouthing that, man, Syracuse can do. Look what they did to North Carolina. And look, yeah, they lost those games. Okay? Syracuse doesn't have their starting quarterback back. Insane. Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk is next. He's the czar of Clemson Sports, and he will sing you a show tune. Go and ask him for it at Clemson Sports. Shout out to my wife sending me text messages during the show complaining that I'm talking about my blog page. I might blog about her tomorrow. We'll see how that works out. More of the rundown tomorrow. Catch the podcast up at about 5 o'clock this afternoon. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.